Hey, y'all. My name is Ann Wyatt. I started my career in workforce development with the state of Kentucky in 2010. That experience ignited a deep passion for manufacturing within me. I started this show hoping to raise more awareness around the bright outlook manufacturing careers have. Join me as I sit down with some of the manufacturing industry's most successful change makers and learn how they're partnering people with technology. It's time to give people more meaningful work. This is Workforce 4.0.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Workforce 4.0. I'm your host, Ann Wyatt. I am so honored and excited to have my dear sweet friend, Emily Wilkins from Marketing Metal on the show today. Emily has been an absolute rock star friend, first and foremost. She is the realest. I'm not even trying to lie. But professionally, Emily has her own marketing agency. Love her brand, love what she's doing, and I love, more importantly, how she's making companies shine their brand on the internet, on social media, all of those cool things as well. But Emily, I will turn it over to you. For those listening, do you want to give yourself a more formal introduction?
Thank you so much for having me. The feeling is 100% mutual. Best trade show buddy ever. I absolutely love having you around when we go to these shows. And we did all the things at the last one that we went to.
We should have a bonus episode of all of the things that we did at IMTS.
We hit all the parties.
And you all would be welcome for it. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, we did all the things. So awesome. And yeah, my company's Marketing Metal. I work with small manufacturing companies that are making components and assemblies for larger manufacturers, machine shops, fabricators, custom equipment builders, people like that. They tend to be small mom and pop shops. I tend to attract the newer generations that are taking over, new owners that are purchasing, just purchase their shop, or startups that they started with a machine in their garage and now they've grown organically and they have employees and they're like, oh my God, I actually need to make sure that I have income coming in all the time. So those tend to be the types of companies that I work with. And yeah, we really start with developing a brand. I'm learning a lot about integrity this month. I have been doing some awesome coaching training on how to be a better coach for my mastermind program, which Anne knows all about. But brand is really your integrity. It's the foundation of everything that you do with your marketing. So if your brand doesn't have integrity, if it's not representing you and what you do and attracting the types of customers and team that you want to be attracting, then it's not a good foundation for you. And it's not providing the integrity that you need to build the business that you really want to build. We're all here to be successful and grow and thrive.
Absolutely. And I think you've got to really think about like integrity. To me, and especially I think in your position too, as a small business owner, it's when you think about anything in your business, how often do you personalize it or what percentage do you personalize it? And for me, when I'm like integrity, I have a lot of integrity, but I think that any normal person walking around has a lot of integrity. I think brand integrity is different. And I think you hit on that, but what do you think in your lessons that you've learned this month? I've got to be curious and know what you think the difference is.
Yeah. What I'm learning, like, We think of integrity as like an altruistic thing. You live in integrity and you're true to your word and you're
See me too.
Honest and right, all of that. But integrity is also used to describe a building, right? If a building has integrity, then it's going to last a long time. Like structures, right? There's also a robustness to it, or it has to do with the strength of something and the foundation of something. Again, back to the foundations. If you don't have those foundations in place and you're not operating from a place of integrity, then things start to fall apart. And we all have 100 million things happening in our lives all the time right now. We live in busy times and it's hard to be in integrity all the time, right? Like it's as hard as you try to make good on your word always, things happen and you can't always, but it's just a matter of as soon as you recognize that you're not gonna be able to make it on that integrity, it's communicating that and telling your customer or your team or whatever, that explaining the situation and telling them what you're doing, what steps you're taking to correct it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, I had to start laughing because you know what my life you know what my life is like as far as being in one spot. Something like that.
There's chaos. We all have it, and we're all guilty of taking on more than what we can manage sometimes. But it's, and I think the big thing that I learned with this coaching is like just recognizing that and then taking steps to correct it instead of just letting things explode and then feeling bad about it and what, like getting down on yourself for it. Just figure out what steps you can take now and move forward and do better. Wow.
I think that's proof that you're on the right track and that you're going to be an excellent coach.
Oh, thanks.
Absolutely. And speaking of chaos and all the things and all the things that we did at IMTS.
Oh my God.
How many parties did we get to?
We went to 6 parties in one night.
It was insane. It was fun. I was only there for 2 days.
I know. It felt like a week.
It was fantastic. My soul needed that. I work so much when I go to shows normally.
Yeah.
That I'm always like, oh, I'll go out, but I need to leave at this time. And I need to like see certain people that I need to see. And during the day, it's the same. And I need to go here and there. And going out at IMTS and living my best life with you was what my soul needed.
Mine too. I think there were lots of tears in our friend group that night, I think.
There were lots of tears, but we did go karaoke.
Karaoke, it was amazing.
Yes, we did do karaoke.
We did do karaoke.
And I, in true introverted fashion, even though this is like my very first question on this show, if you guys are following me, you haven't figured that out now, surprise. Even though that's my first question, I, in true fashion, as the introvert, went last. Justin nailed it. What about that Linkin Park cover?
Yeah, Linkin Park.
That was awesome.
Was it you that did Lizzo?
I did Lizzo.
So good.
Man, great. So they gotta be great. Yeah. I did Lizzo.
Test. Turns out I'm 100%.
But you did, what was the song that you sang? And would you do that song again? Is that your normal go-to karaoke song?
Honestly, that was the first karaoke that I've done in decades, like probably since college or something. I don't know. So I don't know if I have a go-to. That was the first one that came to mind when Chris Lukey asked me about it, like several weeks before. So I did The Darkness, I Believe in a Thing Called Love. And
that's right.
Which is a pretty hard song, actually, to sing. So
a hard song.
It is a hard song. Yeah. There's a range. It's a big range, but it was amazing. And I would do that again. I think it was well received.
It was really good. It was a good song. So Jim Mayer, we're looking forward to the next karaoke.
Yes.
Event.
Yes, Jim Mayer.
Please have us back.
Please host another mic drop because it was great.
But yeah, and all these events and networking events, they're so much fun, but there's a lot of value really to having them as well. And I think that's gone so low key in marketing, especially in manufacturing for so long. Yeah. Those are the events where you get to know who you're working with.
Yeah.
And I think that's super key. But do you think we'll see more of that? Or what other ways do you think marketing's changed over the past few years?
Yeah, I hope we see more of it. It's great.
If I do not get a rock concert in 2025, I'm going to be mad.
Oh, I think we're going to have plenty of rock concerts. I'm pretty sure Chris Lukey is gearing up to do all the rock concerts next year. So
thank God.
Because it was such a success and so much fun. Yeah, I think those events, that's where connections are formed. I can't tell you how many just mind-blowing conversations I had with people at those intimate settings where dreaming and scheming and talking about ideas and things, seeds planted. Like there were lots of seeds planted those nights, and those seeds are, they're, they're going to grow. They're growing already under the surface. Nobody can see them yet, but they're growing. There's big stuff that's going to come out of some of these events. And yeah, to your other question, how is marketing changing? I think in the day of AI and automation, the more personalized and human you can be in your marketing, the more you're going to connect with people. Marketing is it's as big and complex as manufacturing, right? There's so many different strategies and tactics and mindsets and tools and all the things. It really depends on what type of business you're in and who your audience is and what the goals are. Like, there's such a range. For my customers specifically, they have small budgets. They don't have a lot of time to invest in marketing. They don't have a full-time person in house typically that's doing any marketing for them. And they're not looking to get thousands of leads a week, right? That would overwhelm them. They wouldn't be able to respond to them. It's just a different approach. But if they have the right leads, they get 10 of the right leads in a quarter.
10's a great number.
That's perfect.
Seriously.
For most of my customers, that's more than enough. And if two of those turn into customers, that's what they need for the year. It's like, there's a very specific way to reach the audience that they need to reach and then be able to turn that audience. And it's really building that know and trust factor people talk about all the time, like showing why you're a good partner for them and why they should trust you and take a chance with you to expand their product line or start a new product line or whatever it is that they're doing when they're looking for a new manufacturing partner.
No, I definitely think so. I'm still stuck on 10 is a good number. That's what I'm still stuck on. I'm thinking about all of the people. And if you're a smaller company too, I think your relationships matter more to you. There's just more quality and more value to them.
For sure.
And that's why partnering with somebody like yourself to help them to redo a website or whatever. By the way, Emily's websites are like chef's kiss. I'm getting one of those one day. And just having that outreach, but also the exactly like the lead gen strategy piece to it as well. When I think about marketing is like a recruitment. It's part of the recruitment process.
It is, yeah, totally.
In a way. I've seen some
part of recruitment.
Yeah, it's a huge part of recruitment. We've talked about this.
We've talked about this a little bit.
I'm going to put this out here and I'm going to die on this hill. Recruitment is a marketing function. It is not an HR function.
100%. Once the person is part of the team, then it's a little bit more HR. But even still, you still have communications with your team. And communications falls under marketing. You need to make sure that you're communicating with your team in a way that is authentic to your brand and it's in integrity with the plans that you have for the future and all of that.
But even the process itself of list building, of cold calling, of lead gen is all part. It's all marketing.
Marketing and sales, yeah.
But I've seen some of the career pages you've done and I love those as well. They're beautiful.
Thank you.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, talking about the town, if it's like all of my customers obviously need people in the shop, they need like people there physically, not work from home. Selling, if they're trying to recruit from out of town, what's
talk
good
about
the area that you live in? What are some of the fun things that you do with your team? What are the core values? And not just from the you have to have values because some business book says you did, but what are the actual values that you hire and fire against? What are the values that you operate within your team? I very specifically call out when I'm recruiting, I just onboarded two new people on my team that are both, and it's taken me a long time. Like, I've gone through lots of different iterations of my team and it's taken me a while to figure out who the right types of people I need on the team are. And I'm really looking for people that are self-directed, self-motivated. I can't be babysitting. We move way too fast for that. I want people that are passionate and care about the people that they work with and the people that they're our clients. Just a couple of weeks ago, my team, we were launching a site for a client and the the client and one of my team members bonded over, actually two of my team members bonded over Argentina, because they're like, they both had history of like spending time in Argentina and just taught, like they were speaking in Spanish and I'm just sitting like, I don't know Spanish. So I'm just like,
well, I love good bonding stories though. Yeah, and that's amazing.
I love that.
It's such an important part. How would you leverage that if you had, if you could go back to your client? I feel like you could like leverage that experience into the marketing. I feel like you could really leverage that for talent acquisition.
Yeah, for sure. Talking about those experiences with your clients and how much they mean to you, like that might make somebody who is sick of being a number in a massive organization pay attention to your job. And even if that's the thing for a huge thing for my customers, like they're small businesses and they can't always pay as well and provide as good benefits as some of the bigger companies. So they have to find other ways to attract these employees and show them that there are huge benefits outside of the pay and the whatever that of being part of a small team, being valued and being in an environment of accountability and growth and learning and like all of that. That's really important. And those are things that big companies fail at a lot of times. So it's not, it's small companies, but I think small companies have a little bit more control or.
Yeah. I absolutely think big companies fail at that. And I'll tell you what else. I think that the next generation of talent is, y'all, them kids are mean. I don't even know what to say. These kids are mean. Now, Emily and I, we're like millennials and we're like mean, but also, okay. Those Gen Z kids are mean. And I'll tell you, Phoenix's generation, they are not going to care. They will almost expect. And I think that comes with that digital nativity, if that makes sense. Yeah. But they will expect things. They already expect things, but they will expect things. And I think that's going to be critical. And the way that you market is going to be critical. But what do you think? Do you think that'll be a critical piece of the future of work? And
yeah, for sure. Yeah. We're competing with kids that are, you know, want to be YouTube stars or whatever. Like you have to show them the value of that, the experience that you're providing for them.
Oh yeah. You have to. And I think that they're going to expect a level of creativity.
Yeah.
That we've never seen either.
Right. Yeah. They're very creative. These kids are very creative. They're making TikToks and doing parodies with just a, like single actor parodies where they're switching wardrobe and like acting out different parts and doing, they do these funny dance moves and all the things. Like they're creative, and they want to see that from their employers too.
I think so. Yeah.
They're going to want to.
Yeah. So I think that's something that we've really got to pay attention to in honing in on your marketing strategy now.
Yeah.
Even though it'll evolve and change, I'm sure. Do you think? Yeah. But I think honing in on that's got to be imperative. And then also, these kids are not, I'll tell you what else they're not going to put up with. They're not going to put up with inauthenticity at all. And we've already got.
Oh, and they see right through it.
We've already got. I was on a recruitment blog earlier. And there's a whole thread right now about fake candidates are a thing. And it's getting crazy. It's crazy on it. And from a recruitment point of view, it's absolutely crazy from an employer's perspective, also from the candidate's perspective. Neither of these parties are behaving right now.
Yeah.
To be honest. So here I am in the middle. Wow, this is different. I've never had both y'all act up. Thinking about that and thinking about authenticity and how you attract talent, what are some of your top three tips for companies that are looking to build that authenticity and that trust back between their audience, job seekers, customers, et cetera?
I think conversations like this are a great way to do that. Talking about the stories. telling stories of success stories about employees, like how transformations are always a great thing to capture. If you can show like, oh, we had Johnny or Jenny join is sweeping the shop floor and now she's running the sales team, that's a really cool transition to show. Be a journalist, right? Dig around and look for those stories within your team, because those are what's going to speak to potential candidates. Oh, we've done that several times for clients where we interview employees.
Itchy boy, stop.
So not yet. Interviewing employees and talking about what do they love about working here? What did you do before here? Yeah. We just did an awesome video production for one of my oldest clients, Onyx Inc. They manufacture, yes, you had Ashley on the show, right?
Yes, I did. I love her.
She's amazing. She was one of my first clients and then she retired and now I work with her successor.
She's like girl boss goals.
Oh yeah. Is. Oh yeah, for sure. I stayed in her place in Knoxville, Tennessee. So we just went and filmed this series of interviews with their team, and they're employee owned, right? So she sold the company back mm-hmm. to her employees. And we talked to them just about, what does that ownership mean to you? What does it mean to you outside of work? What does your life look like outside of work? What does this allow you to do? And how is your life different because of this job? What are you grateful for? All the things. And the stories that we got were just amazing. They're so good.
Oh gosh.
It's so cool hearing these people talk about how great their lives are because of this job and having this level of ownership in their job. And you don't have to be employee owned to have those types of stories either. Like just having ownership over your work and feeling valued for your work and feeling like you're responsible for it and feeling like you're doing a good job and all that, like that is a level of ownership too. Yeah. Just finding those stories and putting your people on camera and letting them talk about them. They might kick and scream at first, but they'll
get over it.
With the right coaching, they do well. And I think they're happy. They're proud of themselves afterward for stepping up and doing it. It's a good
thing. Oh, I love that too.
Yeah.
Yes. See, these are the things that we want to hear about.
Yeah.
These are the success stories that I think really set you above your competition, which if you're recruiting for talent, the talent war is real.
Yeah.
And these are the things that people are going to be drawn to and inspired by. And I'm not crying, you're crying.
I'm not crying, you're crying. Just wait till you actually see this, these videos when they come out. I think they'll be probably in the new year coming out. So follow Onyx Inc. because they're awesome.
They are
really
awesome.
Really cool company in Pennsylvania. They've been around since the 60s, I think. 50s maybe.
And it was started by, was it her father or his father?
Her father-in-law.
Father-in-law. Yep.
Yeah, Drew's dad started it. And it went into this slump and was in a bad place. And then she and Drew came in and turned it around. And now it's just a great flip. Like when you walk in, you just feel the good energy. Like you feel the good vibes when you walk in. Like people are just happy and they feel appreciated. And that's what people want. They're spending a huge portion of their lives at your company.
Yeah, they are.
You want to be in a good situation, right? You want it to be a good experience. Otherwise, they're not going to want to stay.
I think so too. And those things, of course, like we joke about, especially in HR, we joke about like the pizza party. But a lot of people think that you have to, which money is never not an issue.
Yeah.
First, I would like to preface what I'm going to say before I say it with money is never not an issue.
Yeah.
So you definitely need to think about that first, I think, in your recruitment strategy. But it's also not the end all be all either. If you can provide this type of environment where there's other sorts of, you're saying, ownership and career enrichment, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
Love that. Oh, Y'all make me so happy. You and Ashley make me so happy. Yeah. So the future generations of work, there's not demographically, there's not as many people. And there won't be, as I should say, as many people in the workforce as maybe we've seen previously.
Yep.
So I think it's an all hands on deck sitch.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Get excited.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's all hands on deck, but also how can we work smarter? How can we use technology and tools that we have available to us now, which are endless? How can we use them to our advantage to reduce frustrations for our team, reduce redundancies in our team, mm-hmm. tasks that they hate doing, or hire the right people for them? Just really, really looking at what is the work that needs to get done? What are the resources? Who are the people that you have on your team? And where can you supplement with technology to make their lives easier? Because ultimately, they're the ones that are producing the work, and that's what's going to make your customers happy. And if your customers aren't happy, then they're not going to come back, and all the things. It's a big circle. And so your team is really important to your ability to deliver on your promises to your customers and all of that. And so how can you make their lives easier and make things better for them? And all of these things are things you can talk about in your recruitment marketing, right? That you should be talking about in your recruitment marketing.
Absolutely. You
know, what are your goals with your team? To optimize their time for them and help them grow in ways that they want to grow and all that.
And how are we utilizing ChatGPT? I am serious. I did do, for me, it's been a lifesaver. I don't know if you use the ChatGPT or not. But I think there's so many cool and creative ways that we can use ChatGPT for recruitment and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, it cuts out hours of stuff that we don't want to do. It does such a great job, but it doesn't always have to be like when you're thinking about implementing technology, it doesn't always have to be like a huge CapEx expense. Right.
Right.
Like a robotic system or automation to that level. It can be little things. It can be free tools. It can be any of that kind of stuff that is great for a small business because that cuts down on obviously expenses, but also other risks like cybersecurity risks, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. We use ChatGPT. It's like any tool. Like anything that you do, garbage in, garbage out. If you're not putting the right prompts into it and really giving it the right direction, then it's not going to do much for you. And you're going to sound like a robot. If you're using it to write copy or whatever, you're going to sound like a robot. You really have to be super specific with it and give it examples of your writing and all of that, like prompting it to speak in your voice, teaching it to speak in your voice. And even still, you still really need to review and edit it because it still doesn't.
See, I would almost think people would do that. Like they would know to do that. Is that not, I don't know.
I see AI bullshit online all the time. I'm like, you use ChatGPT to write that caption, which is fine. It's fine. But put a little effort into it.
Put a little effort. Well, was plagiarism not a big thing when you,
No, I was. Yeah.
We had major plagiarism rules in school, like to the effect of, I can't remember if we got suspended from high school or it was like major.
Yeah.
Deal. So it's just always been the practice to go back and review stuff.
Yeah. Make it your own. You got to make it your own. And back to what I was saying before, I say it like it sends off at your spidey senses, right? You're like, you can tell. It might sound great, but It sounds fake. You can tell. Your spidey senses go off and they say, no, something is wrong with this situation. And I'm talking to a robot. So
Julie's all trying to make it pretty. Oh, it might sound.
No.
You might think it sounds. No, what it sounds like is fake.
It sounds fake. Yeah. It sounds like a robot made it, and because it did. So
it did. So yeah, I think going.
But ChatGPT is great at organizing. It's a great brainstorming partner, helping you come up with ideas for things. Reformatting things. I've done that sometimes where I have a list of like copy and paste. I've done this with domains. I've copied and pasted list of domains from GoDaddy or whatever, and I just want the domain, not all the paid for on this day and registered and whatever, and all that comes in when you copy and paste. So paste it in ChatGPT and ask it to just pull out the URLs for me, and it did that in 2 seconds. It's amazing. It's great. So for things like that, I have a friend in my mastermind group that she's like the AI evangelist, and she was posting how she was using it during the week leading up to Thanksgiving to get ready for her family gathering and all the things, like how, like her house was a mess. And so she like took pictures of her office, of the mess in her office, and gave it to ChatGPT and asked to help come up with a task list that she can go through and to get these things done. Like, she uses it for crazy stuff. I'm like, you're so cool. I got it. How did you come up with that?
I want that.
Yeah, my favorite. Oh, Mile End Digital. Follow her on Instagram. She's great. My favorite, though, has been like, I've been working with ChatGPT for a long time, so it like knows my voice and whatever. Asking it to describe me. What was the prompt? I'll have to look it up. But it was like, now that we've worked together for a while, look back at all of my writing and like, how would you describe me as a person? And it like gave me this really cute, it was like, you're very passionate and you care very deeply about your customers. And like,
aww.
Like, it was just really sweet what it said. Yeah, it's a fun tool, like play around with it. But
I've actually been using ChatGPT for some introspective activities.
Yeah.
Like that recently. Yeah. We both know I have ADHD and it's very clear. Yeah. And Emily, you have a good handle on yours though, I feel.
Man, it has taken a long time to get there. This is how I manage my ADHD right here.
Yeah, I like your book. I've got, of course, like I'll write my list,
which
down.
It looks like an insane person's. It doesn't look like anything, but it works for me. So
it's great.
Yeah. And it's back to that integrity thing. We have a harder time coping with the world as people with ADHD when we don't have our foundations in place, when we're not writing things down, when we're not sticking to our schedule, and when we let things pile up. And like, sometimes it's just taking the next step. That's what you need to get unstuck is, okay, what is the easiest thing I can do right now? I'll do dishes in the morning just so that
it frees it up.
It frees me up. Something about it. I make my bed every morning now. I never used to do that. But
yes.
But
I make mine every day.
It's like a thing that you feel accomplished when you're done with it. Like, that's a task that you can get done.
It's like an easy win.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, you've sent me some videos on ADHD and like talking about like the dopamine and all that goes into it or whatever. But yeah, so if you can give yourself like a few easy wins and then you tackle like the hardest thing you've got.
Yeah.
It's pretty effective. But if you're listening, you have ADHD, you are not alone. But we have found, I think Emily's found her own methods. I found my own methods. But you've got a system.
Yeah.
If you've got neurodivergence of any kind and you're,
you gotta have a system. Yeah. And I, totally lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. ADHD.
That was not your fault. That was an outside stimulus.
It was. I had an outside stimulus come in and screw me up.
But I think systems are important, and systems, that goes back to marketing as well. You've got to have great systems in place.
Yeah. Templatize as much as you can.
If you don't have a good grasp on your marketing systems and your processes, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 'Cause marketing is like I was saying, it's massive. It's like as big as manufacturing itself. And if you try to tackle the whole thing at once, you're not going to get anywhere. you just end up treading water. So it's really breaking it down and systematizing those things that you do. We have our process on lock. And one of the two people that I just hired is a quality, our brand quality lead is what we're calling it. She has been just going through and dialing in our processes even more. Like I thought that they were great. And she's, we can streamline this and this and let's do this. And I'm like, I love you. I love you so much. Thank you.
It's awesome. Emily, I really appreciate you being on the show. This was fun. We should do another one. We should start doing follow-ups to all the trade shows. We should just do one episode dedicated to all the craziness that we got into.
I feel like that needs to be a new podcast. So we record episodes at the Advanced Manufacturing Expo in my booth at the Advanced Manufacturing Expo. We've done it the last 2 years. So I had the first year was, it's called the Creator Space, the Marketing Metal Creator Space. And we had manufacturing creators on, Jay Call, Megan, Sammy, Eddie, I'm trying to remember who else was on there, Jacob Sanchez. And then this year we did women, it was all women in manufacturing week.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
When is it?
That's August 6th through 6th and 7th.
Okay, write that down. Y'all, August 6th and 7th, Advanced Manufacturing Expo.
In Grand Rapids,
we're going.
I made a link for your listeners, marketingmetal.com/workforce. And it is my blueprint for a radical brand message. And it's probably more directed toward customers, but just replace customers with talent. If you're trying to attract talent, because it's the same thing. They're customers. Your candidates are customers. You're trying to attract them to your brand. So it's the same thing.
Yes.
But it's a great little exercise, little free download for your audience. So,
Holly, you were the first person to come on the show and make me, first of all, make me a customized link. Thank you. And the first person to ever offer like a free little giveaway for our listeners. This is really sweet. I feel special. And this is why you're going to be a great coach and why you're a fantastic marketer.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, if you're going on podcasts, if that's part of your marketing strategy, it's a great way to get people into your funnel.
Y'all, take notes. Otherwise, is there any other point of contact or anything, any way that you want anyone to reach out to you?
Follow me on LinkedIn. I'm very active, except around the holidays because I just fall off the face of the planet because I'm way too busy. And yeah, Emily Joanne Wilkins on LinkedIn and Marketing Model.
This has been epic. I appreciate it. All of your contact information will be linked in the show notes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Lovely to see you as always.
Thank you. And for everyone listening today, if you liked what you heard on the show, give us a review if you have some time and be sure to follow Emily. We'll see you all next time.